This is the 401 Podcast. Join Rhode Island sports journalist and basketball scribe Kevin McNamara with guests from the Ocean State sports scene and beyond. Now, here's your host, Kevin McNamara.
Hello and welcome back to the 401 Podcast on Kevin Mac Sports. I'm your host, Kevin McNamara. Well, thanks for joining me on this edition of the 401. It's June. Means one of the truly busiest times of the sports calendar. The U.S. Open is up in Brookline next week, Brookline, Mass. Tiger Woods won't be with us, but all the other great players in the world will be teeing it up. I'm looking forward to getting up there for sure. And how about those Celtics? Tied as I speak at 1-1 with Steph Curry and the Warriors and what is shaping up as a tight, maybe epic NBA Finals as the series comes back to Boston. We'll see what happens, and my guess is we'll have a little podcast on the Celtics soon enough. But I'm happy to call this podcast Bob Driscoll, the exit interview. Yep, Bob Driscoll, the longtime Providence College athletic director, is retiring after 21 years, and wow, quite a legacy. Bob the Builder is what his pals around the Big East have dubbed him. Bob was the engine that could over the last two decades, helping transform PC's campus, really around athletics, a renovated alumni hall, a new soccer lacrosse stadium, a high-end track for legendary coach Ray Tracy, an upgraded rink for national champion hockey coach Nate Lehman, and the Ruane Fryer Development Center, the cherry on top, and the home of PC basketball and offices, great practice space. Truly one of the best buildings in the East for sure. And, you know, I've covered all of Bob's 21 years at PC, and he's a welcome guest on the podcast. So let's get to it. Well, very pleased to bring in outgoing Providence College athletic director Bob Driscoll to the podcast. And, Bob, it feels weird to even say that. Outgoing athlete, you're still a young, spry, energetic man, but then I look at the release, the quote, retirement release. I know you're not retiring and going nowhere. 47 years in college athletics, 21 at Providence College. You know, everyone has their time, I guess, Bob. But how do you feel with only a week or so to go before you do leave Providence College?
Well, I think I mentioned it last night. It feels a bit surreal. I'm as busy today as I have been the entire 21 years. So I think it's taken that thought that I'm retiring kind of put it on the back burner, but I'm excited about it. You know, I haven't had a lot of free time in my life to spend with my family and pursue some other passions other than sports. I've been involved with sports since I was 5 years old, so I don't know anything else, but I'm excited about that part of it. But I'm going to stay connected. You know, I'm going to stay connected with five of my coaches and Steve Knapp through a consulting relationship that'll keep me coaching my people or my teammates. So I'm excited about that, but I'm also looking forward to kind of some free time to go visit my granddaughter and my three children who live in the West Coast.
For sure, for sure. Bob, I actually want to start with two stories that you've told over the years. I think it kind of crystallizes where Providence College Athletics was when you arrived, and everyone knows where it is now. So your interview, there was a great old friar up there named Father Morris, who was a huge athletics booster, very close with Dave Gavitt and Joe Mullaney. And Father Morris, well, you can tell the story. You come in for your interview. You're from Massachusetts, but you're viewed as the West Coast guy after your years at Cal Berkeley and the Division III school that I cannot remember ever.
At Union College.
That's
Mills College.
Mills College. Mills College. Yep. So you're this West Coast guy in most people's eyes, and yet you come into a group interview around a big table with our good friend Father Morris. Maybe you can tell that story.
Yeah, it was interesting because they had us off campus over by the airport because they wanted to keep the candidates kind of sequestered away. But unbeknownst to them, I came to campus on my own the day before to meet the hockey coaches and get a vibe for the campus. But, you know, he was, you know, I had never met a Dominican priest before. You know, I went to a Dominican school as a young boy to Rose Hawthorne, and I had nuns, but I never saw a Dominican priest. And then when I was a kid, priests were all powerful. So he's kind of an intimidating guy. He sat in his white robes at the end of the table. And he didn't ask any questions, not one, which was kind of intimidating. I didn't know really what I thought. And And this is a true story. I walked out the door, and I was going to the restroom, and he cornered me, and he said, young man, you did really well. I said, thank you, Father. He said, we'll see you again. I said, why do you say that, Father? He said, God brings those people to Providence College when it's their time. And I thought about that, and I went home, and my wife said, how did it go? I said, I don't know, but I met this really cool Dominican priest, and he knows God personally, and he says that I'm coming to Providence College. And the next day, the phone rang, and they offered me the job. So I don't know if he was the final decision maker. My guess is he must have been. But you know the story about Father Morris. He was the gentleman that was executive vice president at the time the Big East came into existence, and he had to come up with $25,000 to join the Big East. And in those days, Kevin, that was a lot of money for Providence College, and we did it. And think about it, Holy Cross didn't. Mm. And think about the trajectory of where the two athletic programs have been over the last, 42, 43 years the Big East has existed. But, yeah, that's a true story.
Certainly a guy who had an awful lot of sway in Friartown, for sure, a great man. But, Bob, the other is probably the first time that I sat down with you in a one-on-one. I was in your office at Alumni Hall. And, you know, it's kind of all I've known is, you know, Alumni Hall and, you know, some really good Providence basketball teams. And I asked you what you thought of the athletic department, and you instantly jumped to facilities, and you said, you know, Kev, I've been to some Division III schools that have better facilities. Don't put that in your story, but that's the truth. And, you know, I thought about it. You know, I've been around the block a little bit and seen a few places, and you were right. And I wrote the story, and it was basically about your vision to upgrade the athletic facilities. And I walked into your office maybe 5 years later, and that story was up on your wall in a frame, and I was flattered. And you said you kind of used it as a guidepost for your future. And, Bob, just look at the building and the transformation of the facilities. I'm glad if I helped in even a tiny way, I appreciate it. But certainly that is your legacy more than anything else, is the infrastructure around that athletic department.
Well, it's interesting because, I'm a visual guy, Kevin, and I put that up there. As you know, if I spoke it, it became real, and it was in print. And you know, you carried a big cachet here in Rhode Island, particularly in the Providence Journal, and people read it. So I had to live up to that. So over the years, I would read it, and I still have it at home on my wall in my office. And everything that we talked about in that interview has happened and has gone beyond that tenfold. But the other part of that story was, I think I said it looked like a bad high school. And I got immediately called into Father Smith's office, and he was not happy with me. And I was being really honest. I said, listen, I'm speaking the truth. If you guys want to stay in the Big East, you've got to step it up. And I'm not asking you to kind of make it happen on your own. I'm willing to be the spark to do it. And what I'm really proud of is we made all those things happen. But the other thing I'd say, Kev, I think the facility is important, but the thing I think is I'm most proud of is really the culture of the people. And you saw that last night between the fans, Ed, Nate, the coaches, Steve getting the job afterwards. I think the culture, which has always kind of been here with the great Dave Gavitt and those folks, but I think we took it to the next level. And these facilities have helped us keep guys like Ed and Nate and Ray Tracy, guys that could have gone anywhere, Craig Stewart. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But I did take that personal. I put it up there, and I did use it to motivate me, Kevin, believe it or not.
That's great. Hey, no, we are talking the morning after PC's season ticket holder appreciation event. Nearly 3,000 people out at the lawn at the Slavin Center, and Bob welcomed them and thanked them. And then you told a little story about being at the Big East meetings recently, and it's kind of one of those people like to say you want to be at your wake while you're still alive. Again, I just want to say Bob Driscoll is very much alive, but the plaudits that you've received, Bob, in the last 4 months, I'm sure are just amazingly flattering.
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing because I said last night I'm a humble guy by nature. I'm a competitive guy, but I don't need a lot of the pats on the back. But what makes me most happy is just that what we've accomplished here has really touched the hearts of the people in Rhode Island, and really kind words, but you come to really appreciate the love they have for Friar basketball and what it means in their life. And you can't even begin to put a price tag on that between grandfathers and grandchildren and husbands and wives. It's just a special place from that standpoint. And I think this year, after the pandemic, it meant so much to the people in the state of Rhode Island. And having lived across the street in the hotel, and I would walk out early in the morning, the streets were jammed with people already going into bars and restaurants and wearing their Friars gear, which I always wanted to see have happen. And I think that's what makes me really happy, is that success in basketball has made other people happy and maybe got them away from a little bit of the pandemic and the struggles with what's happening in our world. And it's a little bit of an escape for a while.
Let's take a break from the 401 podcast and hear from our friends at Haxton's Liquors. Make sure you stop by and see my pals at Haxton's Liquors on Bald Hill Road in Warwick. Tim and Bob Haxton, they're always ready to serve you and have everything you need. All the top wines and spirits, plenty of beer, a huge selection of spiked seltzers, and all the mixers. Haxton's is always ready to serve you, so stop in and see the Haxton boys and their great staff. They do an excellent job with air filtration and their giant store. The place is massive, but they have absolutely everything. And we're always thrilled that they're proud sponsors of Kevin Mack Sports. Welcome back to the 401 podcast with Bob Driscoll. Hey, Bob, two things. You just mentioned the fact that Coach Cooley and Nate Lehman and Craig Stewart have been here for quite a while. If you look at your entire athletic department, everyone from Jill LaPointe to Arthur Parks to Steve Napolillo, I'm sure there's a lot of people I'm leaving out, have been there for 10, 15, 20, 25-plus years. Why? This is a transitory business. People bounce from school to school, job to job. But why do you think that's the case?
You know, because I've always been a believer, and I learned this from my coaches and my mom and dad, that, you know, any organization is about people, and you need to treat people with dignity and respect, and you need to go to the mat for them. And when they're going through difficult times, you have to have their backs. And I think on a daily basis, people have demonstrated that. We have a tradition after every meeting, and I learned this from my life's coach, is that you appreciate people. Like, oftentimes, you wait until, you know, they're sick or gone, you say nice words. But it's really powerful when you hear it from a teammate while you're alive. And so I'll end up at the end of a meeting, I say, okay, so does anybody have anybody to appreciate? And nobody would start at first, but then I'd call up the equipment manager. I'd make them stand beside me, and I would tell them nice things about what this person has done. And then it becomes like a spark. And at the end of the meetings, people start appreciating people, and it goes back and forth. And it's contagious, and that creates relationships. And I think that's what's created the culture and bond. It's not perfect, but it's different than most places, and it's why people decide to stay, because they feel like their work, no matter what it is, Kevin, is valued and appreciated, because you can't do it. I mean, Ed gets a lot of the credit, Nate does, and I do, but I can't do anything if people aren't, you know, putting out the soccer goals or cleaning the fields or doing the towels. I mean, those people are as important as any of us. And when you treat people with respect and appreciation, I think people are willing to go to the mat for you. And it seems to have worked here.
Now, Bob, there's always challenges, always low points in an athletic year, in an athletic career, 21 years at Providence College for you. I always think the biggest job of the athletic director is to hire the right people, give them the ammunition to be able to be successful at Providence, the hiring of Ed Cooley. Can you just go back and remember exactly what transpired there? You had a good run with Tim Welsh, an unfortunate couple of years with Keno Davis, and then Ed Cooley. Can you take us into the hiring of Ed Cooley?
You know, it's a really good question. You know, as I had hired people before, but I had never hired people for Providence College, and it was a different culture. When I first came here, I was hiring people that I knew from Cal, and I think you have an advantage if you know the East Coast a little bit, because it's a little bit of a different world. And I've come to realize, you look at Keno or a guy like Timmy Army, you know, both were highly successful in their previous jobs. Keno was the National Coach of the Year, but unfortunately, Keno was not a fit for Providence College basketball. And I realized that I have to hire people that reflect kind of what I see as a successful person. And I get attracted to energy, Kevin, people that are positive thinkers, that are big dreamers, that are competitive people, that just will do whatever it takes to get it done. And Ed had that. You know, in fairness to Tim, he overachieved with what he had in our facilities. And, you know, that was a very difficult decision at the time. But what Ed brought to the table was the belief, even when we had nothing, that we were going to be great. And I thought the same thing. And his words and actions became reality. Now, we got fortunate too, Kevin, when the Big East broke up and we weren't playing football schools with people who had 10 times the money we had, and we had a basketball-centric conference. But Ed has grown and developed into one of the best coaches in the country. We got a little luck with the transformation of the Big East and Fox. But really, for me, it goes back to finding someone to reflect your values and what you want out there. And Ed is an ambassador. He has energy and passion. He's one of the best speakers I've ever been around. And I knew Ed was going to be good, but he's even better than I thought, Kevin.
I told him when he was hired, I said, Ed, the good news is if you're not successful here at Providence, you can start your church in Rhode Island anywhere you want, and you'll make a big, big impression. There's no two ways. He is an unbelievable speaker. There's no two ways about it. Bob, I'm curious. Take us inside, again, a moment of truth for an athletic director. Ed Cooley and Michigan, I believe the back and forth went while you guys were together or about to head to one of those Big East meetings down in Ponte Vedra.
Yeah, no, that was real. We actually, you know, Kathy's good friends with Maurice, and we were in meetings that day, and I had heard a lot of rumors about it. So I have a close enough relationship with Ed to say, hey, listen, Ed, you know, let's have an honest conversation. If you're going to go to Michigan, you know, what's it going to take to keep you here? And we sat in the room, Maurice, myself, and Ed, and my wife, Kathy, and talked about the pros and cons. And he did have the job offer because, you know, Ed was on the phone with the AD out there.
Ward Manuel.
Michigan, and they were talking, and I was listening in on the deal. And when they hung up, you know, we talked a lot about what it would take to keep him here. And I said, you want to be that's a big brand, right, at Michigan. But can you transfer what you've done here out there? And if you're not successful in 2 or 3 years, you know, would they let you go? I said, Providence College is long-term committed to you, and I think this is the right fit for you. So, you know, I talked to Father Chandley, and he said, Bob, you do what you need to do to keep Ed Cooley here, and we're fortunate to do that. And that was 3 years ago, and I think about that now. Like, he had that job. He could have left. He could have left for more money, but he chose to stay, and now he's the National Coach of the Year. And if you said to me, Bob, this is good for me and my family, you know, I would have respected that as well. But we stayed up all night and we figured it out. And, you know, a lot of people probably punched some holes in that at the time. But the proof is what we did this year, and I'm glad Ed stayed.
No question. Certainly a turning point for the Friars. Bob, I want you to talk a bit about the fundraising arm of your athletic department, of your school. I can't tell you how it's been transformed over the last 30 years, what Providence College did with fundraising, what their mentality was with fundraising versus now, and the importance of it now. None of the facilities that we mentioned earlier would have been built or rehabbed without fundraising, and maybe the importance of it going forward too. And we'll get into NIL in just a bit, but again, the importance of fundraising, the importance of your staff and your coaches in fundraising is paramount.
Yeah, well, I saw it as a sleeping giant, Kevin, when I first came here. I came from a university where we raised a lot of money, and that's when I talked about these facilities. I wasn't asking the school to help. I figured we could do it on our own because we weren't doing it. Even as an institution, we weren't doing a good job. I think they had one or two fundraisers, and for me, it's about formulating a vision for the future and getting people on board. Yet, as I told that story last night about the seat licensing, a lot of people are upset with me. But
yes,
you know, in order for us to get to where we get to, I needed people to invest in us, and we had to make good on the investment. So we started small. I think the college was raising $100,000 at the time, and then we built it up to $1,000,000, $2,000,000, $3,000,000. Now we're up to over $7 million a year that goes back into athletics. I will give a lot of the credit to the next AD, Steve Napolillo. He actually came to my press conference and got excited about my vision and called me up and said, hey, I want to come to work for you. And we had lunch, and I really thought he was a dynamic young guy. And, you know, 3 years later, I was able to get him away from the Pawtucket Red Sox, and we created this position for Steve. And, you know, Steve, he's a charismatic, passionate guy, and we started building it together. And I've been able to keep Steve and other fundraisers here as well. But then I think the college started modeling what we were doing, right? They added more fundraisers. They were using sport as a way to connect to people. And as we had success in athletics and took people on chartered planes, we started getting buy-in by people like Michael Wayne, who has completely transformed the campus. So I'm very proud of that. But, you know, I can't take the credit other than just being the visionary and hiring really good people. You know, moving forward with this NLI and name and possibly pay to play, we're going to have to raise more money as we go if we're going to stay in this arena and be able to compete at the highest level, and that'll be a real challenge. We can get into that if you want, but yeah, fundraising has transformed, I think, the entire campus.
Yeah, no question. It's at Providence, it's vital. You know, no football, no football money. The Fox TV contract is good. It's dwarfed by the TV contracts of football conferences and whatnot. And yet I know, because Zed Cooley tells me all the time, you know, you come back from the Big East meetings, which you guys just did a week or so ago, and the focus is still there to be competitive and be competitive on a national basis. I'm curious what you brought from those meetings with NIL and the importance of that going forward. It certainly seems, just reading some of the numbers out of the, you know, the Texases and the Alabamas and the UCLAs of the world, that the car is racing and you have to get in the race.
Yeah, well, it's real clear that we're going through a seismic shift in college athletics, and you're not going to be able to compete financially with the football schools. I mean, you look at the SEC, and you saw those numbers. Each school got about $100 million a year from their football contract, and that'll probably double over the next 5 years with a new contract. You know, we get $50 million a year from Fox Sports that gets split up, obviously, 11 ways. But I still think power conferences need us as part of them. I think we're part of that from a basketball standpoint. We're going to sign hopefully another long-term deal with Madison Square Garden, and we're in negotiations shortly with Fox Sports. But I think there's enough talent out there. I mean, think about this year, Kevin. Our kids, none of those kids were all Big East players. I'm not sure there's any NBA players on the team, but we won the regular season Big East basketball. You know, these consortiums they're putting together out there and putting money in, and there are some programs out there that are paying kids a lot of money to transfer right now. We haven't gotten into that game. We haven't had to, but we're going to have to create a pool of money that sweetens the pot as we move forward, because it's going to become the norm. And so we're trying to adapt to that. We're going to create a business structure around that as well. But there's a limit to what we're going to be able to do as a small institution, and for us to be able to think you can compete with the football money, you're not. But the one thing we have that's better in the football schools, 90% of the time is focused on football issues, because I was at a football school. You know, 90% of our time is focused on basketball. So I still think the Big East, because of Fox and Madison Square Garden and the coaches. You look at the coaches we have now, they're as good as any coaches in the country, because we're paying them at the high level that all these Power Five conferences, and probably more than most. So right. I think we're going to always keep good coaches. I think we're going to get great players. Will we be able to get the top 50 guys like some of those schools? I don't know. We don't get a lot of those kids anyway. But I think there's enough out there, Kevin, that we can continue to be competitive at the highest level, but time will tell.
Let's hear what our friends at Manscaped are offering here in the summer of 2022. Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, have just launched their ultra-premium collection to give you the total championship hygiene routine. After sweating out the games, make sure you lather up head to toe. This all-in-one skin and hair care kit. Be clutch and avoid the upset with the Manscaped Ultra Premium Collection to keep everything under control. Here's what this package includes. Manscaped's premium deodorant. No, not for your balls, but for your stanky armpits. Hydrating body moisturizer. It's designed to keep skin feeling clean, smooth, and smelling fresh. Body wash. I use the body wash all the time. Lather. Great in the shower. Has infused aloe vera and sea salt. Really a great shower gel. 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Clean your scalp with an easy one step. Plus, a free gift, a 3-pack set of lip balm that's made with ingredients such as vitamin E, peppermint, and eucalyptus oil to keep those chappers feeling moist. That's 4 products and a gift inside the Ultra Premium Collection. What a score. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code KMAC, that's KMC, for 20% off and free shipping. Welcome back to the 401 Podcast with Bob Driscoll. I'm with you, Bob. I think the opportunity is there. You have to have excellent coaches, and I think the Big East does. Just think about the additions this year. Thad Matta, Sean Miller, one of the hot young coaches in Shaheen Holloway. I think the Big East is doing a really good job with that. And the fact that it's basketball only. It's funny, I talked to Al Durham just the other night on my radio show, and you know, he had spent 4 years at Indiana, heart of the Big Ten. And I think he's going to cherish his 1 year at Providence just probably more than his 4 years at Indiana. So the impact that players can make and enjoy a Big East basketball experience still certainly resonates, and I know you certainly agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree. Even the young man that came in from Kentucky, his dad was here a couple weeks ago and said they didn't have any of the stuff that we have here at our high-performance center. And you saw 3,000 people out there last night, and the kind of love and respect they get, I think it's different. I'm not saying that the big football schools don't have those things, but I don't think it's as intimate and as special. And small places aren't for everybody, but you know, the state of Rhode Island just loves Providence College basketball. And I don't know if you got a chance to go into the new Calabria Hall of Championships, but the history that Providence College basketball has, and you know it as well as anybody, Kevin, and we're blessed that you actually have that knowledge and keep it alive and doing podcasts and writing and everything you do. You know, we've got to keep that alive because I think that's part of what makes Providence College great is its history. And Ed added to that history this year, which is really cool.
Agree. Hey, Bob, I'm all set. We could go on for hours because we both love college sports for sure. But don't be a stranger. It sounds like you won't be. I know we'll reel you back in for the URI game. Hey, Bob, how about this? You can actually, now I don't know if you can do it, but you can actually sit and watch a game without running around and hiding a little bit, which I know you get a little nervous during ball games. And now that you're not the AD, will you be able to sit for 40 minutes and watch the Friars?
I don't think so, because I still live and die whether they win or lose as part of my fabric, and I'm okay with that. But maybe this time I can have a couple of beers that'll chill me out, or I'll sit beside you and I can yell at the officials, but I'm still looking forward to it. Friars will always be part of my blood, and I'm excited for what comes. But thanks for your friendship and all your hard work, and if you ever need me, I'm just a phone call away.
I appreciate that, Bob, and thanks very much. I know Friar fans will remember you fondly for a long time. Thanks very much, and thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks, my friend. Take care. Go Friars.
Thanks again to Bob Driscoll and all he's done for me, first of all, and for my career. He's certainly been a great help in his 21 years, and certainly for all of Friar Athletics and Friar fans, he'll be missed. But as he said, he feels he's trained and mentored new AD Steve Napolillo, and certainly many key pieces are in place for the Friars, not only in their staff, but in their athletic programs to enjoy continued success as this crazy world of college athletics goes through some major, major changes in the next few years. Well, that's it for this week's 401 Podcast. Enjoy those NBA playoffs and the Celtics. And you know, before you know it, the college hoopsters, they'll be back on the court in the fall. But please, go slow. Enjoy your summer. This is why we live here. Enjoy your Rhode Island summer, that's for sure. Please pass along this podcast to your pals. Subscribe to my website at kevinmacksports.com. And please listen to my radio show, the Kevin Mack Sports Hour, every night at 6 o'clock on WPRO in Providence. You can download the app today if you're catching the podcast here from outside the Rhode Island, Massachusetts area. WPRO app, very easy to download. You can listen to the show anytime you want. You can also tell your Alexa to call up WPRO every night at around 6 o'clock. Thanks, as always, to producer extraordinaire Kevin Collins and to our friends at Haxton's Liquors and Manscaped. 401 Podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Buzzsprout. Subscribe on whatever platform you enjoy most. Shoot us a like and look for the next edition of the 401 Podcast with Kevin McNamara.
Thanks for listening to the 401 Podcast with Kevin McNamara. Get the 411 on the sports scene in the 401 by subscribing to the 401 Podcast from kevinmacksports.com.